Good morning. We would like to welcome you all to Rochdale Baptist Church, and we thank you for joining us this morning as we worship the Lord and look forward to hearing from His Word. We're grateful to the Lord for making this means of communication possible, and we hope that everyone will be encouraged as you're able to listen in and take part in this worship service this morning. To begin, we will be singing two songs, and we encourage you to gather your families together and join with us. For our first song, we will be singing the first verse of a very well-known hymn, Amazing Grace. I hope everyone was able to watch Pastor Shannon's video from Wednesday about the faithfulness of God. It's encouraging to know that we serve a God that is worthy of our trust. He also quoted one of my favorite verses in the Bible, 1 Thessalonians 5:24, which says, "Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it." Though this verse is talking about God's faithfulness to preserve our salvation and to sanctify those that trust in him, it's also a reminder to me that whatever God calls me to do, I know He'll be faithful to accomplish it as long as I trust in Him. There are times in all of our lives that we fail to be faithful to God as we should, but He promises to always be faithful to us. He will never leave you nor forsake you. So for our second song this morning, please join me as we sing, "Great is Thy Faithfulness." Aren't you thankful for His faithfulness this morning? We included some special music, and we hope that you'll sing along with us as we sing this next song, "Come Thou Fount."
Come Thou Fount of every blessing, to my heart to sing Thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet, sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mount I'm fixed upon it, mount of Thy redeeming love. Here I raise mine Ebenezer, hither by Thy help I'm come, and Thy hope by Thy good pleasure, safely to arrive at home. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. He to rescue me from danger, interposed His precious blood. Oh, to grace how great a debtor, daily I'm constrained to be. Let Thy grace, Lord, like a fetter, bind my wandering heart to Thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, Lord, take and seal it for Thy courts above.
I know it's not the same as being together in person, but being able to sing these songs and listen to the preaching of God's word with you all makes me feel like we are together, separated but not divided. We all have one spirit and can worship God together in spirit and in truth. I pray this morning's message will be an encouragement to you as it has been to me. The message is titled, Master, Teach Me How to Possess My Vessel. The main scripture passages will be found in Proverbs chapter 25 and 2 Timothy chapter number 2. Thank you all for listening, and God bless.
Hopeful that many of you have come together at the same time, 9 o'clock, and we as a church are joining together our hearts to worship the Lord. It's with great joy that I think about these things. As I prepared the message last night, I couldn't help but think that we may be absent in body as far as physically being together, but we're together in the Spirit, and that God would more than bless this, that He would magnify it in such a way in our lives, in our children's lives, and all those that are part of the church, that they would never forget these times. I know that it's difficult. I know that many of you have expressed to me that you would rather be together and be at church, but you all understand that right now, to be loving is to be apart, to allow these things to pass, and in God's timing, soon we'll be back together. So I hope this morning you've prepared your hearts, you're ready to receive God's word. And for all those that might be with us visiting, we want to welcome you to our service. You're a part of it. And we're grateful that God has brought you to this website and allowed you to worship with us. So before we begin our service, let's just pray together. Father, we thank you for your blessings. We thank you, Lord, for who you are. Lord, that you are the Creator, that you are our Savior, our Redeemer, a loving Father, and Lord, that that salvation is by you and comes from you, and that there is no other way that we can come to a saving knowledge except through the way that you provided. This morning, we thank you for the blood of Christ that's able to save to the uttermost. We thank you for your simple plan of salvation, that, Lord, that even a child can come by faith and receive Christ as Savior, and, Lord, be born to the kingdom of God and be blessed for eternity. We thank you this morning that you can take a cold heart, one that's the farthest away from you, and, Lord, you alone can soften and tenderize the heart in order to bring it to an understanding of its sinful condition and the fact that you loved us so much that you provided a way of salvation through Jesus Christ. We ask this morning that you would bless the preaching of your word, that you would help us to be able to understand, Lord, that you would open our minds and our hearts to receive the precious, holy word of God, that you would plant seed, Lord, deep within our hearts and where there's fertile soil, and Lord, that the enemy would have no way to steal it, but Lord, you would allow it to be matured and come to a place where it's useful to you. We thank you for each one that's joining us. We know that there's not one accident, Lord, in the audience, but we pray, God, that you would help us today to understand that although we're apart, we worship together in spirit and truth. Not only will our hearts be blessed, but we know that this blesses you as well, and that helps us, Lord, to be joyful today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you would, please turn in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter number 4. And while you're turning there, I'll just tell you that I'm glad to be able to be with you this morning, even if it's only by way of audio. And I am confident that the Lord will bless our time together, because I know that the Lord is the one that opens His word to us. And I know that He has a desire to feed you and me both. And only He can truly do that. I'm reminded of how He told Peter to feed my sheep. It's His great desire that a pastor would feed the Lord's sheep. And so this morning, that's what we endeavor to do. God's been good to us this week, and I know that He will bless your heart. So if you would, I hope you're at Proverbs chapter number 25. I hope you have your Bibles with you, and I hope you've turned there and you can read with us. It's a one verse, but it helps set up the rest of the message. Take away the dross from the silver, and there shall come forth a vessel for the finer. The title of the message this morning is, Master, Teach Me How to Possess My Vessel. Father, bless the reading of your word, the preaching of your word, the hearing of your word, and the doing of your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This verse here in Proverbs simply sets up the message for today. We'll be going to some other passages a little bit later on, which will help us to understand, and the Lord will teach us how to possess this vessel that we have here. He clearly identifies the particular elements that are at play in the believer's life, elements that we must understand if we're going to grow and if we are going to be fully used by God and to bring glory unto Him. So let's quickly look at each one of them. And you can write these down. That's a little different than being at church. You can have your paper or your notebook there ready, and you want to write these down. It'll help remind you in days to come. First of all, we can see that there is a vessel right there in the verse. And a vessel is something that has been prepared. Best way to describe it can be described as an instrument, a utensil, a piece of furniture. We probably, if we said vessel, we might think that it was a vase or something along that line. I think most of you probably know enough from the Word of God to be able to identify who the vessel represents. We might say that it represents me or you or the believer, but actually what it represents is the finished product, And so, yes, it would represent us, but it would represent us after something has taken place. The second item that you'll notice here, the second thing that we see, is we notice that there's dross. What is dross? Dross is the impurities. We'd call it the refuge. For the kids' sake, we might call it the junk. It's the stuff that's no good. It has no value. If you want to find the parallel of what it would be the world. It would be sin. It would be self. It's that which causes me or will cause me to turn back from my faith or from my commitment to the Lord. It's that which might bring me to backslide or to retreat. And notice what must happen to the dross. It has to be taken away. It has to be removed. The process is not really complicated, but it's also not easy. Just a quick description of it is the one who's purifying silver would have a fire that's heated, and it would be extreme heat, enough heat to be able to melt silver. And in that melting process, all the parts of the silver are divided out. The impurities are divided from the true silver. And the impurities would be the part that rises to the top. And so in the end, the one who's purifying it would just simply skim the impurities off, and what would be left is the valuable stuff. It would be the real silver. And it's the part that is going to be used by the finer, and the dross would be tossed away. The third thing that I want you to notice here is the silver itself. And the silver is the material that the vessel is going to be made of. Even with the dross, silver has a value to it. But it's a valuable material that has to be purified, and the finer is the one that's going to do that. It just has to be placed under some heat in order to bring the dross out. And then it will become more valuable, and it'll become more useful. You see, we are the silver. The believer is the silver. And if you've not received Christ as Savior, yes, you would be maybe described as a metal or maybe a bunch of different things that are put together, but they're waiting for the Lord to come along and to divide out the part that has to go in order to become a useful vessel to the Lord. By itself, it'll never be anything useful. And in order to become truly valuable, it not only has to have the impurities removed, but it has to have somebody who will do something with it. The fourth thing that we see in this verse is the finer. The finer is the ultimate creator of the vessel. He's the one who's going to cast the silver into a good design. He's going to mold it. He's going to make it. And without him, there will be no vessel. The silver is valuable by itself, but in order to become useful, the finer has to work on it. It has to be by his hands. He has to put his hands on it, and then it becomes a useful design. And who is the finer? Well, the finer is God. It's our loving Father. It's the Holy Spirit who lives within us, the one who continually, as a believer, works in our life on this side of heaven to mold us and to shape us to what he would have us to be, a vessel that we're going to find out will become fit for use. And only at the point that we become that vessel can we then be filled with the things that God wants to be to put into it to be used in his ultimate design. Now, if you would, please turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter number 2, verses 19 through 21. You might be able to hear in the background as I'm recording this, we got some pretty strong storms moving through, and so don't be surprised if you hear a crack of thunder outside. But verse number 19, it starts and it says, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. Let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work." The key word here, I would tell you again, is the word vessel. But here the Lord wants us to understand something. He wants us to become fully aware of something that's so vitally important. And I'll start by asking you this question. Have you ever thought about what kind of a vessel that you are? Paul tells Timothy here in the scripture, he says there's two kinds of vessels, Timothy. There's ones that are vessels unto honor, and the second one is there are vessels or some to dishonor. And by honor, he means, the Greek word is the word time, and it means of highest degree, precious, and valuable. And the word that's dishonor is simply the exact same word, but with a the letter alpha added to the front of that Greek word, which negates it or makes it the opposite. And so it means a vessel that's not honored, or we might say that's despised or without honor. It's disgraceful. It's a vessel that's shameful. Might even say that it brings reproach. And if we were looking at it, we might say it's a vessel that's really vile for being able to be used for its purpose. And also mentioned here is a great house where these vessels are at. And what is he referencing here? What is Paul talking about here? And I could take you to a lot of scriptures, but that's not really the essence this morning. So just to sum it up, we would say it's the body of Christ. It's the church. That's what the great house is. And in the body of Christ or at church, what type of vessel would you be? I think anyone who has truly been saved would surely want to be an honorable vessel, a vessel that's precious to the Lord's use. Nobody who has been washed in the blood walks around and says, I want to be a disgraceful vessel. I want to bring shame and reproach to the Lord and to the church. That's not how any of us would think or what we would say, but the very truth is that some have fallen prey to this very reality. Some are not able to be used by God. There's some in the church who have been placed in this position of dishonor. And we could say of certainty that it's because of the sinful behavior that they take part in. It's a lack of learning, possibly on their part, about the things of God that's brought these things into their life. Or for some, unfortunately, it would just be sheer disobedience, choosing wrongly in their life. You know, that's not God's plan for any of you. And the Lord never has quit on you. You're not a throwaway, and you're not too far away that God can't reach down into your life and make you a vessel that's fit for his use. You just need to learn some things to turn your life around, to become an honorable vessel in the body of Christ. And that's why the Lord has this message today. And for those who are being a useful vessel to God, I want you to think about your life and how it can become even more of a use to the Lord. Remember, Paul over and over talks about having a more, not only an abundant life, but that he might abound more and more. There's never an end that Paul sees that he's going to be working towards being more useful or more fruitful to the Lord. Well, there are these three words here in the scripture that describe what God's plan is for your life, what he wants for you in the church. So we're going to look at this verse again, and we're going to see if you can identify them. He says, but in a great house there are not only vessels, verse number 20, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, some to honor and some to dishonor. And then here's the key part of this, verse 21, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor. And here we go, sanctified and meet for the master's use and prepared unto every good work. You'll find here in verse number 21 what I would call the process of use. And you'll see that in the word sanctified. But to make it easier for us to remember, think of it this way. It means purposed for God. The word sanctified means set apart, consecrated, made holy. But we can think of it in this way. The process is God wants to sanctify you for his purpose, to be set aside for his use. So you and I, if we're going to be useful to God, we have to be desirous of his purpose. The second word is where he says meet for the master's use. And that word meet, M-E-E-T, means profitable, means useful, easy to be used. Think of it this way. There's nothing that would hinder you from being used by God. So we would call the second way profitable. The first one is purposed. The second one is profitable. And the third one is easy because it says it right there in Scripture. And prepared unto every good work. And that word prepared, I love it because in the Greek, I don't know how I can express it fully, but maybe by a couple of words, you're ready to be used. But if I had to use one word, I would say you're eager to be used. Key to all of this, I think, is the phrase for the master's use. Who's the master? It's Jesus. And what is his use? It's for his work. And specifically, it's for the gospel. So we can be placed in Christ's church to be used by him. The fact is that you're needed. No doubt you're wanted. And no doubt the Lord has made you for this. The truth is that joy is found by you in being used for what the master has purposed you for. Fulfillment is found in being used by the master. Now notice that these three processes, these three things that we just mentioned, again, just a little bit deeper, are sanctified or purposed for God's use, meaning set apart. What about all the other stuff or the other things? Well, think of it this way. God's a jealous God. He wants all of you. He'll never be satisfied or appeased by just half of you being set apart or by half of you being purposed. The very word sanctified is not a term of halfway. It's not a term of half-heartedness, but it's a term of absolute commitment, an absolute desire for purpose by God. Joshua 24:15, Joshua tells the Israelites, he says, choose you this day whom ye will serve. And he goes on to say, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Today, it'd help you if you would identify honestly, are you fully committed to being set apart or purposed for God? Is that what you really want? And then the second part of that process that we already spoke of, being profitable, which means easily used and nothing hindered. Think of it this way. If you're an employer maybe you work for an employer, the employer certainly would understand this truth. There's nothing worse than having an employee who always has something that's in the way of being useful. It could be anything that hinders that work. Well, in the kingdom of God, it's no different. We can have habits that waste time, that hinder God's work. We can have people that we place really above or equal to the things of God, and really other stuff that's priorities above God that hinders His work. It can be a fear or a lack of faith in our life that hinders God's work. But the Lord desires you to be easily used for the kingdom of God. He wants you to be profitable. It's what He's made you for. And as an employee, who is always ready for the employer would look at him and say, that is a profitable employee. Then there's this third process, again, that we've already spoken of, the word prepared, which means ready or eager. And I'd say it this way, Lord, I'm ready. And it means that the vessel is eager to be used for the purpose. I want you to think about a piece of cookware and give this piece of cookware some life, as if it could speak or talk or think. It's a brand new piece, an expensive piece of cookware. And it's been placed outside for a different use. Although God would never do that, if you think about what that piece of cookware might say, it would say, I was never meant to be placed outside. I was never meant to be a dog's pan. But what I want to do is I want to cook. I want to cook meals. I want to be used for what I was intended for. Well, if you want to be prepared, that's the attitude that you have to have. God, I want to be used for what you wanted me to be used for. There's a verse in Philippians that helps us out. Chapter 3, verse 11, Paul says, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended. What does Paul mean there? He means what God made me for, that's what I long to do. Nothing else, I just want to do that. So let me ask you, are you purposed for God? Set apart, consecrated to Him? Is that your heart's desire? Are you meet and profitable for the Master's use? Is there anything that's hindering you from being used by God fully? Finally, are you prepared and eager and ready to be used by God? His desire should be your desire. How does one get to this place? How can I ever be used by God this way? You might be asking this morning. Well, first of all, I want you to notice that in verse number 19, the Word of God says, the Lord knoweth them that are His. He knows you. He knows what His purpose is for you. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 24, He says, faithful is He that calleth you, who also will do it. You see, God's working His part. That you can have no doubt. You can have absolute confidence that God's going to do His part. But you, just like Joshua, all the great heroes of the faith, whether it's Joshua or whether it's Samuel or whether it's Esther or whether it's Ruth, whether it's John the Baptist, you have to choose. You have to choose to be used the way that God wants you to be used. The final emphasis in the sermon this morning is not going to be long, I don't think, but I think it's so very important. It's, how do I get there? You know, the Lord has got my attention, Pastor, and I'm really listening, but I don't quite know what to do next. I do want to become a useful vessel to the Lord, but how is it that I get there? Well, I would first tell you that Scripture is always our source. It's the place that God uses to teach us. And so that's where we ought to look today. So here in 2 Timothy, first we see that we're going to learn what the practice is to becoming a useful vessel to the Lord. That's what I need to learn. If you're keeping notes, you can just put a subheading over your page there, and you could put practices to becoming a useful vessel. Practices to becoming a useful vessel. Look at verse number 21. The Bible says, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor. The word of practice here, or the word that we learn, is the word purge. Now, what does Paul mean by purge? Well, it means to cleanse thoroughly, to clean out completely. I would say it this way, to separate us from sin. Wow. Have you ever learned some depth to this word? If you ever get a hold of this word, I think it'll help you, and I think probably you and I have learned what this word means, and maybe we're not even aware of it, but all this that we're going through has probably helped us to get an understanding spiritually of what the Lord's talking about here. Because with this virus, if you go out, what is it they always tell you? Wash your hands. 20 seconds, at least 20 seconds, but wash your hands. Second thing they tell you is, you know, don't put your hands all over everything. Don't touch dirty things. Or maybe this way, don't touch contaminated or polluted things. And then the third thing I would say is they probably tell you don't go where the virus is. If you can, stay at home. That's why we kind of find ourselves here this morning with just an audio and not actually together in worship, is because they'd say don't go where the virus is. Well, just as it's true in the physical realm, this is true in the spiritual realm. Wash your hands. Confess your sins. Go before the Lord and ask Him to take away the sin. Not that to salvation, you've been saved, and once you're saved, you're always saved. But we have to go before Him and confess our sin. And remember in 1 John 1:9, He says, if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Don't touch the dirty or contaminated thing. I would say it this way. Learn to hate sin. It's easy to hate sin in somebody else's life. But if we're going to purge, we got to learn to hate sin in our own life. And then don't go where the virus is. Ask the Lord to help you, for Him to clear the way for you, to stay away from the trouble that you might get into. Jesus prayed, deliver us from evil. Don't go where you know that you're going to have trouble, where the desires of the world are going to conflict with God's desires, and you're going to be easily pulled to the things of the world. Every believer has to learn to come before the Lord and to ask for forgiveness. And that's why John tells us in 1 John 1:9, not just to forgive us, but Lord, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You see, cleansing is God's work, but it requires your willingness. Do you have a time when you go before the Lord to ask for His forgiveness, to seek His strength to be able to cleanse you thoroughly, to clean out your vessel for His use? Purging, that's what it is. The second practice you'll find in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4, verses 1 through 4. I'd give you a second to get there, but you can go back if you need to and maybe pause this, or you can go back and rewind it a little bit and listen to it again. Verse number 1 says, furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how you ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. For ye know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication. Don't get hung up on that word. It's the Greek word pornography or porno or pornography. I would say the Greek word is porneo, but our English word is pornography. And he says to learn how to possess our vessel in sanctification at the end of verse 4. And I'll explain how that all fits together. But the total of verse 4, he says that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. So the thing that I want to call your attention to first, before I get ahead of myself, is the word please. He says here that we should learn how, or we should know how, that we are to walk and to please God so that we would abound more and more. The word here, please, is kind of an odd word. It means to seek to be so. So something I've found in every single believer that is sold out to the Lord, that's serving God to the fullest, is they have a desire to bless God, to bring pleasure to Him. Their thoughts aren't always just about themselves, but it's about the Lord. And so many Christians live the other way today. It's God bless me. And even our own country, when we get in times of crisis like 9/11 or like we find ourselves now, you may see a sign out that says, God bless America. And I've always wondered why our thoughts weren't, God, we want to bless you. Let us bless you by the way that we live, by the way that we serve you. And I think every Christian individually has to get to this place. They have to learn how to please God. It's not what I can get, but the believer that is going to truly be useful to God, he wants to know how he can please God. The third practice of the believer to become a vessel fit for use is found in verse number 4 here. I almost got ahead of myself a while ago, stumbled a little bit, but let me read it. It says that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. And it's the word possess. So first we have to purge, and then we have to learn to please. And the third one is we have to learn how to possess. And that means to get, to obtain, to acquire, to own. You say, the idea here is that you begin to control the use of your vessel, to begin to get a hold of it, to own it for the proper use. You might say, I thought God did that. Well, he does. Look at the scripture again. He says to possess the vessel in sanctification and honor. And that word sanctification is the word holiness or holy in the Greek. And that's all God. God is holy. But he calls us to be holy. And so if holiness is going to be brought into our lives, it's going to be a work of God. But you got to understand, possess here means that we have to learn that this vessel is only to be used by God and for God, for holiness. That's the reason why the opposite of that is referenced in verse number 3, which is to abstain from fornication. That word porneo or pornography, that has to do with not being holy, but being unholy. And God says, that's not what I've purposed you for. And the word fornication means sexual promiscuity or sexual perversion. And God says, I want you to stay away from that. I want you to learn how to possess, how to own your vessel for me, which is sanctification and honor, holiness. You see, possess is not just mean that I have to say, God, I've sinned. Please, I ask you to forgive me and then turn right back around and sin again and go back and ask God to forgive you and do that over and over and over. But it's learning how to own the vessel so that you don't just keep sinning, but you know that the purpose of God is for that vessel to be holy. Again, I would say it's an amazing thing to learn here. Most believers are never taught this. Most never get here, because they don't understand that they have to spiritually be growing. They don't know what it looks like to possess their vessel or why they should possess their vessel. They just don't understand what's required or what it means. And what God means here is you need to own that vessel for my use. Take control over that vessel. And I would say there's a couple of things that are involved in this. It's knowing that you're a steward over that vessel. And second, learning what it means to have self-control over that vessel. That you literally tell your body or your desires no, and that you purpose it for God. And then the last thing that we would see here is the practice to becoming fit for the master's use. You need to turn to Romans chapter number 9 and verse number 21. And the Bible says, hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? And so the fourth practice to becoming fit for the master's use is understanding about the power. Who is in control over your vessel? Who has the power? Who shapes it? Who makes it? Who fills it? Whose vessel is it? Well, it's God's. The word power is a little different. We're almost finished, but the word power here is exousia in the Greek, not the word dunamis. The word dunamis is just power, it's overwhelming power. The word exousia in the Greek is often translated power, but to understand it, we need to know that it means privilege, influence, mastery, control. You see, when you're saved and you're born again, you're no longer your own. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verses 19 and 20 say it like this. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body, your vessel, and in your spirit, which are God's. You see, you're not your own after salvation. God redeemed you by the blood of His Son, Jesus. He bought you back. And He bought you back for His original purpose, which is to glorify Him, but first to fill you with the Holy Spirit. And that allows you to do what He made you for, which is to be to the praise of His glory, to bring glory to God. You see, you have to learn who has the privilege over that vessel. So what are the practices again that you have to learn to become useful to God? You have to learn to purge, to separate from sin. You have to learn to please God, to desire to be used for what He wants and to bless Him. You have to learn to possess your vessel, get a hold of it for the rightful use that God intends. Then you have to ultimately learn who has the power over it. And if God has the power over it, He'll do it. God has the control. He's the one that has the privilege for my life. You see, He bought us with the blood of Christ that makes me His. And I'm confident today that the Lord has spoken to you in the message, not because of this preacher, but because His word is quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. And I know that the mission that the Lord gave me so many years ago, I was 13 years old and it's never really changed, and that is to teach families, to teach individuals, to teach believers to be obedient one step at a time. So what has God pricked your heart about today? What step of obedience is God requiring of you? You know, it's pretty simple. You just have to trust Him. You have to obey Him. You have to do the thing that God's laid on your heart today in order to be used by God. You know, there may be somebody that's joining us today that's lost and undone. These things are hard for you to understand. Maybe you realize today that you're lost. You don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. The Bible tells us Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. That's the good news. That's why He came. It's why He shed His blood on the cross of Calvary. It's why He lived a perfect life, so that He could be the Lamb of God, the perfect Lamb of God, the only one that could pay for the price of sin. And you see, God didn't just leave Him there at the cross. He didn't leave Him in the grave, but He raised Him from the dead, proving to us that not only that He has power over death, but He has the power to give life, and that Jesus' sacrifice was sufficient, that it satisfied God's requirement for sin. You see, Jesus paid it all for you. The question is, have you come to the place where you realize that you're a sinner, that you know that you're separated from God by your sin, and that you can't save yourself? The Bible tells us, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. In Romans 6:23, it says, for the wages of sin is death, but the part that you can, if you've understood that you're a sinner and you can't save yourself, here's the good news. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You see, God loved us so much that He gave us Jesus, His Son, to be the sacrifice for sin. Today, if you're at that place where you know that you're lost and undone and you're bound for hell and you desire that God save you today, it's as simple as getting on your knees and confessing that you're a sinner, recognizing that you have no way to save yourself, and trusting and believing in your heart that Jesus died, was buried, and that most importantly, that He was raised from the dead, and placing your trust in the finished work of Christ, what was done on the cross, and believing that God will save you based upon Jesus' perfect sacrifice and payment for sin. If you believe that in your heart, the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It says, if you'll confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So today, I'm praying for you, both the ones that might be lost, and the believer, I'm praying for you that as the message is spoken to you, you'll be faithful with the things of God. May the Lord bless the rest of your day and keep you. And I look forward to seeing our folks soon. And if you don't have a church home and you live close by Rochdale, come and visit us. And if you don't live close enough by, you can come to the website and you can pick up the messages here. If there's any praise that's to be given, it's to the Lord. It's all His work. Father, we thank You for what You've done today. We thank You for the blessing, Lord, of the technology that we can give a message in one place and many people can hear it. Today, Lord, it'll only be powerful. It'll only be useful if You touch it. So God, we pray Your blessings on it. May it be magnified many times over because it's Your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.